Welcome to the Right Take Podcast, news, ideas, and conversations at the intersection of politics and culture, a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. I will be your host, Mark Tapson. Greetings and welcome back to the Right Take Podcast. I am your host, Mark Tapson. I'm flying solo today because I wanted to talk about a few related items in the news that appeared last week, all related to Hollywood. And I'm using the word Hollywood as shorthand for the entertainment industry or showbiz. Hollywood isn't quite a precise term to use, and sometimes even I myself use it in too general a fashion, but again, it's kind of a useful shorthand. Hollywood sometimes seems like a completely different planet from the one the rest of us live on. Decades ago, there were Hollywood stars who were obviously more glamorous and wealthy than the rest of us, and yet most of them managed to seem relatable to moviegoers. They may have been larger than life on the big screen and on the red carpet, but they didn't seem ideologically insane or contemptuous of their audiences. Those days are long gone, and it's a tragedy. First, I want to talk briefly about an incident at the Academy Awards show, which aired last Sunday, which you may not even have known about and almost certainly did not watch, as I did not, because the viewership of all such showbiz awards shows has been plunging in recent years as Hollywood has increasingly and intentionally distanced itself from mainstream audiences thanks to their relentless woke virtue signaling, Trump derangement syndrome, and open contempt for Americans in the flyover country that they so despise. The incident I'm referring to occurred on the red carpet at the Oscars when dancer and singer Julianne Hough delivered a land acknowledgement. For those of you who are blissfully unaware of what that is, a land acknowledgement is a woke trend involving a sort of apology to and honoring of the indigenous tribes whose land at any given location where an event takes place was quote-unquote stolen by Western colonialists and occupiers. At the Oscars, Julianne Hough said, "We gather in celebration of the Oscars on the ancestral lands of the Tongva, the Tataviam, and the Chumash peoples, the traditional caretakers of this water and land. We honor and pay our respects to indigenous communities here and around the world." Well, naturally, this rightly provoked a tsunami of social media ridicule. One poster wrote, "Land acknowledgments don't mean anything unless you're prepared to hand back the land you think is rightfully theirs. It's performative crap, insulting for those indigenous people and nauseating for the rest of us." Another commenter wrote, "Of all the virtue signaling, land acknowledgments are the most insufferable." And a third commenter on social media wrote, "How do these people become so stupid?" Another user on X, or what used to be called Twitter, noted that human history is filled with examples of land being conquered. He wrote, quote, "My ancestors conquered their ancestors the same way their ancestors conquered the people who were here before them. Not stolen, conquered," unquote. That is exactly right. The historical ignorance of these land acknowledgments is maddening. Let me clear this up. Human history is the history of violent conquest. That is the reality, as unpleasant as that sounds to modern ears. There is no people or territory anywhere in history, except perhaps for the most isolated of tribes, that hasn't been conquered by some other people, sometimes multiple times, or that hasn't conquered others. And that includes all the tribes mentioned by these virtue-signaling progressives, who love to embrace the fantasy of the noble savage, that pre-civilized peoples were peace-loving environmentalists until the white man came along and waged genocide and stole their land and resources. There's quite simply nothing that can be done to rectify any of that history. And social media commenters were correct to point out the hypocrisy of privileged elites like Hollywood stars apologizing for occupying stolen land that they have no intention of giving back. Progressives are the only people in the world who seem to be in denial about history and human nature, and who offer up these offensive, performative apologies, and it's part of the reason people have come to hate Hollywood and other woke elites. Another bizarre Oscars moment came when a black actress named K.J. Smith, don't worry, I haven't heard of her either, suggested on the red carpet last weekend that the black community should start looking into moving to Africa due to the political climate in the United States. She said, "We're not trapped here. There are places we can go. There are countries that are receiving us back, citizenship back, with open arms, and I think it's time for the black community as a whole to start looking into those resources." Unquote. Elsewhere, she has said something along the same lines that, quote, "more black Americans are realizing that conditions in the U.S. are not improving for us. In fact, they seem to be getting worse. Other communities have considered alternatives, and so should we," unquote. Presumably, she's talking about initiatives like Ghana's right of abode policy, which allows individuals of African descent to live and work indefinitely in that country. Benin also has introduced a citizenship pathway for descendants of African slaves who can trace their ancestry. Sierra Leone is another one that's granted citizenship to individuals of African descent who can prove ancestral ties to the country. The actress Smith has said elsewhere, quote, "these programs give us real opportunities to reconnect with our origins and find places where we are truly valued," unquote. I don't know what she means by the political climate here being unfriendly to blacks, given that exit polls showed support among black voters for President Trump nearly doubled in the 2024 election when compared to 2020. But the notion that she and her fellow black cultural elites, who are apparently so oppressed here and yet she somehow made it to the Oscars, the notion that she and other affluent blacks will be better off moving to Africa is, to put it charitably, comical. No country in the world values its black citizens more than the United States of America. I challenge her to prove otherwise by putting her money where her mouth is and moving to Ghana or Benin or Sierra Leone. Okay, moving on. One of the Oscar winners that night for Best Documentary Feature Film was No Other Land, a joint production by left-wing Israelis and Arab activists about purported ethnic cleansing of so-called Palestinians by Israel. A woman named Cassie Akiva wrote a very thorough piece about this for the Daily Wire, and I'm just going to read selections from it because I think it's important to get the truth out there about this piece of Palestinian propaganda, which has just been legitimized and celebrated with a coveted Oscar. So this is from the article, "The Truth About the Oscar-Winning Anti-Israel Documentary, No Other Land," and it's by Cassie Akiva. She writes that Palestinian co-director Basil Adra took to the stage for his acceptance speech to accuse Israel of ethnic cleansing. Adra said, quote, "No Other Land reflects the harsh reality that we have been enduring for decades and still resist as we call on the world to take serious actions to stop the injustice and to stop the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people," unquote. His Israeli co-director, left-wing journalist Yuval Abraham, chimed in, claiming that he is free as an Israeli, while his co-director Adra is, quote, "under military law that destroys his life and he cannot control," unquote. But according to the Israeli NGO Regavim, the documentary relies on a, quote, concoction of misrepresentations and outright fabrications," unquote. Meir Dutch, director general of Regavim, said in a statement, quote, "this is a propaganda film that serves the false Palestinian narrative and seeks to undermine the legitimacy of the State of Israel in the international arena in order to cause boycotts and sanctions of IDF fighters," unquote. Throughout the film, Adra documents his struggle to stop the Israeli Defense Forces from demolishing what are described as ancient villages in an area called Masafer Yatta, which is east of the Palestinian Authority town of Yatta. In reality, Regavim points out that all of the so-called villages of Masafer Yatta did not even exist when Israel declared the area an IDF training zone for live fire exercises back in the early 1980s. The name Masafer Yatta is believed to come from the word traveling, a reference to its distance from Yatta, or from the Arabic word for nothing or zero, a reference to the desert wasteland that was not suitable for anything. Aerial photographs dating as far back as 1945 show no signs of a residential presence before the 1980s. Not until the 2000s does the area have signs of habitation in those images. And there follows a long explanation in the article, which I won't bother to go into, about how Palestinians have illegally constructed on and gradually taken over the stretch of territory focused on in the film, which demonizes Israel and the IDF as heartless occupiers seizing Palestinian land. Though the film earned more than 25 times less than Matt Walsh's 2024 film Am I Racist, which was not nominated for an Oscar, Audra and Abraham's film continues to win awards even in the aftermath of Hamas's massacre, kidnapping, and raping of Israeli civilians. Israel's culture minister Miki Zohar called the film's Oscar award a, quote, sad moment for the world of cinema. Instead of presenting the complexity of Israeli reality, the filmmakers chose to amplify narratives that distort Israel's image vis-a-vis international audiences. Freedom of expression is an important value, but turning the defamation of Israel into a tool for international promotion is not art. It is sabotage against the state of Israel, especially in the wake of the October 7th massacre and the ongoing war, unquote. Indeed, it is. And again, I have been half reading from, half summarizing the Daily Wire article, The Truth About the Oscar-Winning Anti-Israel Documentary, No Other Land, written by Kasi Akiva. I recommend that you hunt that article down and read it all, because again, I want to help get the word out that this film is Palestinian propaganda, which I submit to you is precisely the reason it has picked up an Oscar and other awards from progressive-dominated entertainment institutions. Next, I want to comment upon a couple of Hollywood reactions to President Trump's recent beatdown of Ukrainian President Zelensky in the Oval Office, in which Trump showed an America-first strength that we have not seen in the White House for decades, if not a couple of centuries. The first example is from actor Mark Hamill, whom you will remember from Star Wars nearly 50 years ago, but that's the only thing you'll remember him from, that and his angry Trump derangement syndrome screeds on social media. After the aforementioned White House confrontation, Hamill posted on X, or again, what used to be called Twitter, I can't get used to calling it X, he posted that Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance are, quote, a disgrace to our country, unquote. Hero versus zero, Hamill wrote, referring to Zelensky as the former, of course, and Trump as the latter. Quote, I'm in a state of shock and still trying to process yesterday's shameful, traitorous debacle in the White House. A day that will live in infamy. He wrote that last part in all caps, which I guess he thinks gives it more weight and validity. Quote, our standing in the world has plummeted overnight, but the repercussions will be felt forevermore, unquote. Well, I'm going to be charitable again and just say that Mark Hamill has no idea what he's talking about. Using the word traitorous doesn't even make sense. Not only did our standing in the world not plummet, it was in fact a demonstration, and I'm talking about that White House meeting, it was a demonstration that America is no longer going to settle for being just another impotent player on the world stage. It's a demonstration that America is reclaiming its preeminent superpower status and leading, not following, anymore. Mark Hamill is a brainless, warmongering Ukrainian shill who would be perfectly happy to see young American soldiers go off to die in a world war that would eclipse the nightmares of the first two, while he sits in his privileged home playing keyboard warrior on social media. Hamill, by the way, was the talk of the previous weekend when his pants literally fell down while he was presenting an award at the BAFTA event. It's a British film award show. Look it up on the internet. You won't believe what you're seeing. Okay, the second example of an inane response to the Trump-Zelensky meeting is from political expert Whoopi Goldberg, who told her co-hostesses last Monday on ABC's inexplicably long-running gabfest The View that the Oval Office meeting was, quote, one of the most embarrassing things, unquote, she had ever seen. I guess that means she's never seen an episode of her own show. Whoopi rambled inarticulately, as usual, about Trump being a Putin operative and not doing the will of the American people, blah, blah, blah. I have news for her, which I'm sure she never hears inside her Hollywood bubble. This is what we voted for. America voted for America first, and that's what we are getting from a president who is thankfully taking a wrecking ball to business as usual in D.C. and in the White House. He and J.D. Vance, for whom I have developed a serious man crush, showed the Ukrainian president and the rest of the world that we are going to pursue a real-world negotiation to end the Ukraine war with Russia, and that we're not going to simply keep hurling tens of billions of dollars into the Ukraine money pit and let this escalate into more of a world war than it has already become. This does not make Trump or the MAGA movement puppets of Russian President Putin. But the Trump administration is the only political entity in the world that has a plan to end this war as quickly as possible and to stop the devastation and the killing. And until you have a better plan, Whoopi, you and your fellow propagandist co-hosts can stick to chatting up celebrity guests. And you, Mark Hamill, can go back to whatever it is that you do when you're not on social media. Now, all of this having been said about Hollywood, I can tell you from personal experience that while it's easy for conservatives to condemn Hollywood as a monolithic left-wing enclave, there are many, many conservatives working there. It's just that they have to keep their heads down in order to keep working in a town that views conservatives as literal Nazis. And also, conservatives tend not to be the most influential or powerful people there. There was a news item last week that makes this point about nurse anesthetist Anne Marie Wiley, who is married to sportscaster and former NFL player Marcellus Wiley. She says she was fired by Bravo's show The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills due to her conservative views. And I should note that she's biracial, half black, which I mention because it's relevant, as you will see. Anne Marie Wiley told OutKick's Tommy Lahren that she was vilified after an old video clip resurfaced in which her husband expressed that only women should compete in female sports. Gasp! Wiley explained, quote, "The first issue that I was canceled for was being opposed to biological males competing in women's sports. The second issue was my opposition to pedophilia," unquote. Oh, she went there. Being vocally opposed to pedophilia won't win you too many friends in showbiz. For example, Wiley explained that her castmates on the show took issue with her outrage over Balenciaga's 2022 ad campaign featuring photos that sexualized children. I remember that campaign because I wrote about it when it came out. She says, quote, "Living in California, in Los Angeles, where people are so, for lack of a better term, just hateful. People are very, very hateful. And they will spew terms like bigot and transphobic in order to silence you and cause fear and make you silent on these issues and make you feel bad for speaking out about what you believe in," unquote. She went on to say that there are, however, plenty of secret conservatives in Hollywood. She said, quote, "In California and Los Angeles specifically, because it's very hard to be conservative here, people won't say that they are. During the election cycle, I knew so many people who pretended that they had voted Democrat when really they didn't. There are quite large circles of people who will all talk amongst each other about that, and we all know that we voted for Trump, but they won't publicly say that they voted for Trump, whether it's, you know, they don't want to lose a role or a job or an endorsement or whatever it is," unquote. She went on to say, "People won't actually say that they voted for Trump even when they did. I think there's this overarching theme in Hollywood that you have to be a Democrat, and beyond that, you have to go along with their ideologies, no matter how ludicrous and insane and nonsensical they are." She goes on to say, "I will tell you that there are issues that some of them did agree with me about. They'll never say that publicly, and they said that they won't say it publicly, but there are issues that they would agree with. There's this theme in Hollywood, like people know you have to conform to these ideologies whether you agree with them or not, otherwise you will be canceled like I was," unquote. But Anne Marie Wiley also correctly noted that she is seeing a cultural shift following President Trump's landslide election victory. She said, quote, "I think the narrative is moving away from bashing Trump and bashing Republicans all the time. The country has shown what they want to see, and I think people want to see more of those conservative views on mainstream television," unquote. Well, she's absolutely right about that. Last month, Wiley was invited to the White House for President Trump's Black History Month celebration. "It was the most incredible day," she said. Quote, "It was filled with so many open-minded and like-minded, welcoming, intelligent people, and it was so refreshing to see," unquote. Gee, that's nothing at all like what black actress K.G. Smith was describing when she said blacks aren't valued and the political climate is getting worse for blacks. Maybe K.J. Smith needs to step outside her Hollywood bubble and meet some actual conservatives, including black ones like Anne-Marie Wiley. All right, that's all for today. Don't forget to subscribe to The Right Take so you don't miss any of the important conversations we are having here. My upcoming guests will include former Congressman Louie Gohmert on the State of Our Union and Jihad Watch director Robert Spencer on anti-Semitism, among others. And remember, if you like what you hear, please leave a positive review. See you next time. The Right Take with Mark Tapson is a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center and Front Page Magazine. Unauthorized reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.